And I think that's the way the best books can operate for us. They help us understand the world that we're living in when it can feel so dark and insurmountable. And that's what Stranger Things is also doing for its own audience.
That's Charlotte Jones Voiklis, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Charlotte Jones Voiklis manages her late grandmother Madeline L'Engle's literary business. She lived with her grandmother during college and graduate school, co-hosting dinner parties and helping answer readers' letters while earning her PhD in comparative literature. She joins us to discuss her grandmother's classic sci-fi fantasy novel, A Wrinkle in Time, and its recent connection to Stranger Things on Netflix. Charlotte, welcome to Conversations.
Thanks, Dan. So good to be with you.
Well, today we're going to talk about this classic sci-fi fantasy book and its connection with Stranger Things. So for anyone who may not be familiar with the book, can you give us a brief synopsis of the plot here?
Sure. A Wrinkle in Time is about a girl's search for her missing father, and she travels the universe with her brother, a friend, and three mysterious beings to find him.
So how did A Wrinkle in Time find its way into Stranger Things?
You know, it was a complete surprise to me. So I think it found its way there because it's been a staple in schools and on bookshelves in libraries and bookstores for more than 60 years. So the Duffer brothers must have found something in it that resonated and they put it in there.
Yeah, I read what the Duffer brothers said. This was one of their favorite books growing up. So it was great that they put it in there. This book is marketed often as a middle grade book, but it's also mentioned as a young adult book and for adults as well. So it seems to have sort of universal appeal for readers.
Yes, I think it had a hard time finding a publisher because the feedback my grandmother got was like, well, we don't know who this is for. You know, it has a child protagonist, so it must be for children because why would adults want to read it? But it's so dark. It has very complicated themes and it has physics and evil and time travel. Like, that's not for kids. So who is this book for? And she would say, it's for people. Don't people read books? So over the years, yes, it gets classified in different ways. And she would never describe herself. She was a writer. She would describe herself as a writer, not a children's book writer, because for her, that was the most important thing. And not, she would say, this is marketed for children, but not that she was a children's book writer.
Now, this was published in 1962. Why do you think the book remains timeless in many ways and still appeals to readers today?
You know, for the same reason it had a hard time finding a publisher when it was first making the rounds, but then really found its audience. I think it still continues to find its audience. And it finds its audience because it really trusts children. It trusts its readers. And it's also just a rip-roaring, page-turning mystery. Is she going to find her father? Where are they going to go next? What's going to happen? When she finds her father, he doesn't fix everything. In fact, things get worse. So what's going to happen next? So both in terms of its mechanics of storytelling, it's a really well-told tale, but also in terms of how it treats its readers and what the vision of the universe it shows us, I think is what makes it still so readable today.
Let's talk a little bit about how this fits into the world of Stranger Things, because there are some themes in A Wrinkle in Time that are shared with the show Stranger Things. So talk a little bit about the themes this book explores and why you think it finds a home there in Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think it's both the, you know, children facing something insurmountable, you know, a deep evil and fear, and how they learn to overcome that by having friends and being loyal to each other and acting brave for each other. That it's a story that sort of rejects conformity and fear. Both of them do that. And the way that the book is used in Stranger Things is very interesting and clever, I think, because it's not just a fun Easter egg. Oh, here's A Wrinkle in Time. Holly's reading it. But they really explain how the book works for Holly. It gives her it's an interpretive device for her. She understands how to navigate the upside down and Henry Creel's mind because she's read this book. And I think that's the way the best books can operate for us. They help us understand the world that we're living in when it can feel so dark and insurmountable. And that's what Stranger Things is also doing for its own audience.
So in the book, there's Mrs. Watsit, and Holly interprets this, what turns out to be Vecna in the Stranger Things, as Mr. Watsit. And both of these characters, they live in these, you know, gorgeous old houses that aren't what they seem to be. Mrs. Watsit is powerful, but she's good as opposed to Mr. Watsit being bad.
Yes, so it's hard to sort of want to do a one-to-one comparison about characters or moments in the book. And this is one of the things that sort of online people were talking about. Well, you know, Mr. Watsit in Stranger Things is, you know, Henry Creel, Vecna, you know, the big, big darkness. And in A Wrinkle in Time, Mrs. Watsit is, you know, she's a guardian angel, is described as a guardian angel. So, you know, there is danger in reading things too closely, but it's also true that, you know, the way darkness and evil and can work is through temptation and deception. So the fact that Henry Creel is named Mrs. Watsit for Holly, it's like, oh, she sort of can trust him because she thinks he's like Mrs. Watsit, but then has to move away from that.
One of the themes of A Wrinkle in Time is not conforming to things. There's the it that tries to make everybody be the same. And some people have drawn the comparison with the hive mind and the mind flayer in Stranger Things. So do you see there's that kind of comparison too about nonconformity in the novel and also Stranger Things?
Yes, 100%. This idea that difference is needs to be erased, and so that everyone acts the same and thinks the same. And you see that with the kids in Stranger Things as well, that everyone has to accept their own difference. You see that most, you know, certainly with Will and also Eleven and Robin, that it is in their difference that there is strength, and it's in being an individual is a moral responsibility. It's not just about being powerful or being self-actualized, that in understanding and knowing yourself and accepting yourself, then you are able to help others. And it's that sort of friend loyalty and acting for others that they share in common.
And then there's the whole Camazotz thing that directly plays. They borrow that directly, at least the name directly, from A Wrinkle in Time. And so it shares some of the things like different planets, different realities, and kids moving from one to the other, and ultimately figuring out a way to defeat it or the Mind Flayer. And as you pointed out, a lot of that has to do with friendship. It has to do with love. So it sounds like, you know, those are things that work well between the novel and the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, and they're different as well, though, because, I mean, the Stranger Things does such great world building, and this is part of what the sort of Stranger Things fandom is so interested in, right? And what all the chatter was about was how the world works. And I think Wrinkle in Time works a little differently. It doesn't have a lot about mechanics. It works more on metaphor, which is also a function of the different mediums that they're in. Stranger Things is visual, right? It was many, many episodes over several years, and A Wrinkle in Time is a different medium. It's a book that is meant to be read by a person. And so the imagination of the reader is really engaged in a different way.
The book is A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Charlotte Jones Voigtlis manages her late grandmother's literary business. Charlotte, thank you for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It was a pleasure.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.